The Justice and Integration Ministers are tonight preparing for a crucial meeting with Garda Commissioner Drew Harris tomorrow amid warnings protests against accommodation for asylum seekers could escalate. Coalition figures, well, they've spent the day rejecting suggestions tensions are running high between ministers over the response to the migrant crisis. And in Clare, opposition to the housing of 29 asylum seekers at McGowna House is hardening tonight. Minutes before we came on air, demonstrators there at Inch, they've released a statement and it reads as such: having read the minister's reply to our elected representatives today, we feel disappointed and let down with his response. Our position as a community is that this location is totally unsuitable for this purpose. We invite Minister O'Gorman to come down in person to view the location and accommodation. Our peaceful protest will continue. Thank you. That statement delivered via our colleague on the ground there, John Cook. The protest continuing despite pleas from the Taoiseach, from the Taoiseach, and despite that meeting with Integration Minister Roderick O'Gorman and Harry Magee of the Irish Times. You heard there the stance very much hardening and the political heat around this issue quite high in the Dáil today as well.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of the reasons that have been posited by people in Inch have to do with fire safety certificates, have to do with the septic tank, have to do with the isolated nature. But when you kind of scratch through the surface and look at the subliminal reasons, they're not all that different to the reasons that were proposed by people in Sandwood Street last week, that people do not want immigrants and asylum seekers coming into the communities. And we've seen that before in places like Uachtaráin in County Galway, in Ballyhadreen, County Roscommon, and also in Listunvarna in County Clare. Funny enough, in some of those places, when the asylum seekers actually went in, they were accepted by the community. But there is a suspicion, and it manifests itself in different ways. I think the protest in Inch is more subtle. Definitely,
but than the government responds scenes. Under scrutiny at this stage, is it?
The government is. I mean, if you look at the figures, I mean, we have had 80,000 Ukrainian refugees coming into Ireland in the past year. We have more Ukrainian refugees in Ireland than we have in France. You know, despite us being 20 to 25 times smaller than France, and a smaller amount than most other European countries, we are the fifth largest country pro rata. The population of Ukrainian refugees in Ireland is the fifth highest pro rata of any European countries. And the four countries that are higher than Ireland are all contiguous countries close to the Ukraine itself. So we have taken in quite a lot. We already had a housing crisis. So we've taken in 80,000 Ukrainian refugees. 20,000 people have come in the past 18 months seeking international protection.
So an unprecedented situation, Harry, but the issue of communication to local communities, that was risen in the Dáil earlier by the Social Democrats leader, Holly Kearns.
The manager of McGowna House knew for 3 months that asylum seekers would be housed there, but nobody else was told. The local community was not told, local politicians were not told, not even Clare Immigrant Support Centre, who've been providing outreach services for refugees for more than 30 years, was told. Joe O'Brien was appointed as a junior minister for integration to help with this work. He put together proposals in January to recruit a team to help with community engagement. But it's reported in the Examiner today that those plans stalled when they were sent to the Department of the Taoiseach. It appears that Minister Roderick O'Gorman is on his own. At least that's the view of the Green Party. Green Party Senator Roisin Garvey told Morning Ireland today that Minister O'Gorman has been, quote, thrown under a bus. There are also reports of increasing tensions between the Integration Minister and the Housing Minister. Senator Garvey implored people not to play politics with this issue, but it appears the only people playing politics are sitting at Cabinet table.
Sinn Féin's Louise O'Reilly, Joe O'Brien, of course, is a man you know well. Are he and Roderick O'Gorman, are they on their own, as Holly Kearns has suggested?
Well, that seems to be what their own party colleague suggested this morning on Morning Ireland. She suggested, and it's the same quote I heard, was that Minister O'Gorman has been thrown under a bus. I presume she effectively means Joe's been thrown under the bus with her. It would seem that Junior Minister O'Brien has tried to be helpful. He sent a plan to the Department of an Taoiseach for communication last January. That was effectively ignored. You'd have to ask yourself why and why there was no response. I don't know what degree of follow-up that he would have done with the Department of an Taoiseach, but when people are saying that there hasn't been any communication then, and they didn't know, they didn't find out about it, I think what was really telling was actually Emer O'Connor from Clare Immigrant Support Group. She was on the same programme and she found out on Clare FM that the people were going to be coming to the Magowna Hotel.
But Joe O'Brien saying in the Dáil earlier that a tender has been issued now for the government's communication strategy on housing migrants. So he might argue he's doing his best here. That tender is now out there.
I'm not disputing that he does his best. But I think we have to ask ourselves, well, what's the alternative if his best is not good enough, you know, at this stage when there has been issues? But I think also, without needing to go out to tender to the private sector to do that, the simple matter of communicating with local representatives and with local communities, it's not done. And it does lead to confusion. And in the gap created between what people in the local area know is about to happen and what the government won't say is about to happen, we have misinformation, disinformation and members of the far right stirring up trouble at local level. And that cannot be allowed. And that happens in a vacuum. That vacuum is created by the government failure to communicate.
Senator Alice Mary Higgins.
So I think, first of all, yeah, there are two different things happening here. There is the question of better communication, that idea of, you know, there are supports there in terms of immigrant supports for a long time in Clare. There's actually been really long history in Clare, I think, in the community of welcoming refugees, right back to refugees from Chile and Vietnam in the 70s and 80s. And I think, so there is a question of that piece of the communication and all of those supports, the things like the transport, like the additional medical supports. But I think also, in terms of what Harry said, there's also, we need to be very clear, there is also absolutely a narrative which is not about actually those practical issues and how they need to be handled, but is indeed being weaponized in terms of opposing people, a very small number of very vulnerable people, because of who they are, because they're men who have come from vulnerable situations in conflict. And so I think there is a piece here which is about racism, and it is around the fear that has been whipped up and been fed. And then there's a separate piece which is around the government supports and the government pieces. And I do think that Minister O'Brien, who has personal expertise in this area, should have been listened to at an early stage. I do think that Minister Dara O'Brien, you know, when you look to Housing for All, which was developed after we knew the Ukraine conflict was underway and that there would be a large number of refugees, is completely inadequate in terms of what he's been contributing in planning for those numbers of refugees. I think there's clear gaps on the Taoiseach side, on Dara O'Brien's side, as well as, and there is an element of pushing, you know, the people out, Minister O'Gorman out, to explain the unexplainable, which, by the way, is what they did as well on the mother and baby home scheme. They have him defending the indefensible in terms of some of the exclusions there. And just maybe a last thing, because I think it's important, if kind of Ireland, this idea of Ireland is taking this huge, you know, 86% of all global refugees are in developing countries. Countries right around the world with far less resources than Ireland and with far less advanced signalling of the need to accommodate and support refugees are managing to fulfil their basic obligations under human rights law and not have people living in the street and living without basic hygiene and support.
Barry Ward, let's take some of those charges in turn. You've thrown your Green Party colleagues under the bus on this issue. How do you respond?
I must say I don't see that at all. I think there's actually great cohesion, and in fact I've spoken to Roderick O'Gorman about an issue in my own area where there's a proposal to set up a similar centre in Dunleary. I've welcomed that. He gave me advance notice of it, so there is that communication.
How much advance notice did he give you?
I spoke to him, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago about it. But the point is that there is cohesion there. It doesn't mean that the government does everything it should do every time. Of course it doesn't. And if there is an information gap, I think it is fair to criticise that, because the danger is that you allow other people to fill the information
gap. Are you admitting there's an information gap?
Well, I don't know what was or wasn't paid out on the ground.
Well, you heard Holly Kearns there. She said the manager of the hotel knew 3 months ago. Roisin Garvey said she didn't know anything until she heard it on the radio. Your Shannon's colleague, a government colleague.
Yeah, and I don't know, because, and I don't take what any of them says as being the definitive account or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that the first thing is that even if there was no communication, and there wasn't no communication, but it doesn't excuse what's happening. It's not okay, and people need to understand that they don't get to decide who lives in their area, but they don't get to blockade roads that belong to all of us.
But we heard the charge, and the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar is a man you know well, and we heard the charge that Joe O'Brien had these plans and how to communicate with communities back in January, and they seem to have been scotched by the Department of Taoiseach back then.
I don't think anybody's saying that they were scotched, Barry. I think
Louise O'Reilly would disagree. That has been reported.
The question was directed to me. But what, I don't think anybody's saying they were scotched. There's no evidence for that. If they didn't get through, I don't know about that. What I will say very concretely is, information for local communities is tremendously important because it fills the gap. It doesn't allow other people to fill the gap.
To be clear on what did happen, Joe O'Brien said, in January, upon taking office, I'd initiated proposals based on the recruitment of a small team and utilising existing community networks. Under my remit, however, officials of the Department of Taoiseach wanted time to explore alternative models of engagement, and I understand that work is ongoing. So essentially, Joe O'Brien was saying he wanted to do this work in January, and those officials said no, and now we have this situation tonight in Clare, which is hardening.
Yeah, well, firstly, again, I'm not within the Department of Taoiseach, so I don't know, but I would not say that any position taken by officials justifies what's happened, and I think that's important because at the heart here you have a number of men, as it happens, but a number of people who have come from an area where they can't live because of war, because of whatever problem it is. They've come to this country asking for help, for shelter, for asylum. We, and the Taoiseach has been very clear on this, we will give it to them. We will not put a cap on those people. That is our obligation under international human rights law. And I think an awful lot of Irish people are really proud of the response of Irish communities, the Irish government, the Irish state, to the need for those people to be accommodated here. And we've done our best for them.
But there's 400 well beyond, people left.
Well beyond what people like Sinn Féin said we would be able to do.
That's not actually true. So 480 people have been left to sleep in tents. That's really not fulfilling our obligations. And like, let's not forget, those 480 people forced to sleep in tents on the street are victims of the housing crisis as much as anything else, because there is nowhere to go. The 5,000 people who are trapped in direct provision who have leave to remain and could leave, they leave every morning to go to work and they go back to direct provision because there isn't anywhere for them to go. So space could be created if we weren't also in the grip of a housing crisis, which has been caused by government policy. Government policy has led us to where we are now. So that's 12,000 people in emergency accommodation, 5,000 people in direct provision who cannot move on, and 480 people sleeping in tents on the street. That, you know, that's a number of asylum seekers. That's before you add people who sleep on the streets all of the time. Anyway, yeah. You know, by any measure, it is a failure. And the people who are at the centre of this
is ignoring the 83,000 other people
who have
been taken in.
Asylum,
and this time last year, when the assessment was at 44,000, Sinn Féin was saying we'd never be able to accommodate.
Harry McGee. Yeah, it just seems to me there's been a lot of focus on communications, and even if you had the slickest communication strategy in the world, it would not lance the boil. You know, there are underlying problems there that will not be solved by a better communication strategy. And Louise is right, there's about 500 people sleeping in tents. Anybody who goes down Mount Street or the vicinity of Mount Street will see a refugee camp, you know, around the Office of International Protection, and it's a disgrace. The people in Clare tonight were saying in their statement that the facility there was totally unsuitable, or absolutely unsuitable for their purposes. But it was less absolutely unsuitable than people having to sleep on tents in Mount Street. And I mean, sometimes, you know, the government is scrambling to find accommodation. We had 1,300 coming in January, 800 coming in looking for international protection in February and March. That happens every single month, as on top of what Louise has already described as a very, very severe housing crisis, you know. And sometimes the government has to work in haste and untidily just in order to get people off tents and off the streets. And I know it puts the noses of some communities out of joint, and I know that the communications is less than ideal, but to me, looking at it, I mean, I think any accommodation is more suitable than people living on tents on the side of the street in Mount Street in Dublin city centre.
Just to return to Barry Ward briefly before we move on, we're hearing news tonight of three Dublin accommodation centres in Santry, Dún Laoghaire and Clondalkin Dáil, the Social Democrats deputy Roisin Shorthall. She's been critical in relation to the centre in Santry, saying the accommodation situation for asylum seekers is now in crisis, but specifically on the situation in Dunleary with the amount of people sleeping on the streets. This is in your constituency. Mm-hmm. When do you see it being operational?
I don't know. I'm waiting for a full report from the minister on that. The building that they have in mind is not habitable at the moment, but I think can be brought into a good state in relatively quick order. But I'm really pleased that Dunleary can play its part in accommodating people.
And but some have suggested it hasn't played its part up until now. It's
no,
a common
refrain.
No, I
don't think that's true. The reality is that there's very much less property available in Dunleary than there might be in other areas of the country. It's pretty well developed, and
there are few enough. Well, the statistics would show one per every 1,640 people in Dublin CHO6, and one asylum seeker, that is, this is from the spring,
but the reason
and one for every
Barry,
190 in Clare.
The reason for that is that the area of Dunleary is well developed. There is very little derelict property. As somebody who's looking for a house in Dunleary at the moment, I can tell you that with some authority. And the reality is that people say this, but actually there isn't. We don't have big hotels in Dunleary.
Very briefly, you don't know when it's going to be operational.
No, I don't
weeks.
Yet, but I expect to know. I would hope so, and I expect to know in the coming
days. So within the next 4 weeks, would you imagine?
I would hope so, but I don't know that.
Alice Mary.
Just to say, I think it also though points, there's the short-term immediate piece now, and I agree, absolutely meeting our basic human rights obligations is essential, and that is to the priority. But there is also the reliance on the market overall, and we've seen this is one of the drivers of the housing crisis, but it is also one of the main issues that we've had in relation to housing refugees and housing, that we've had this failure, for example, to look to the long term. I know there was a number of properties that were discussed 2 years ago but again it was said, oh, they would take a year to get up to code. Why wasn't that done then? Because we know that the refugee numbers they're not going to diminish. And then, you know, in the current climate, there is conflict right all across the world, not just in Ukraine, in Sudan. We need to be looking to plan for the future. So we need some medium-term strategies also to start appearing in terms of appropriate, decent accommodation.
Louise O'Reilly, those three new centres, the government seemingly tonight, if Barry Ward is to be believed, is working on this issue. Are you confident with the announcement of those three new centres? Would you like to see more detail?
Well, we have to see more detail. We have to know, you know, like where they are, and there has to be communication, obviously, with the local groups and with the local communities. Nobody's a veto on who lives beside them. When I bought my house, I didn't knock on my neighbour's door, say, come here, do you want me to live next door? Does anyone want to get a petition up? That's not how it works. You know, people need somewhere to live. But I will say it again, these people are every bit as much a victim of the housing crisis as the people who this evening will sleep in emergency accommodation and the people who are left for decades on, for more than a decade, on housing lists waiting on social and affordable housing. The solution to this is for the government to actually build social and affordable homes for working people to rent and buy. That is not happening at the scale to match the crisis that government policy has created. And the victims in all of this are everywhere around us. We see them in tents, we see them in emergency accommodation, we see them in people in direct provision who are stuck.
Okay. Well, moving on, and a reminder of that news as we came on air, the protesters in Clare saying they will continue their protest despite the urgings from the government and commentary earlier from the Minister for Integration, Roderick O'Gorman.